Could you present yourself?
My name is Eric Horn. I'm an anarchist publisher. I live in Berkeley, California, and I'm from Michigan.
Could you speak about your background?
My mother's family is native from Michigan. They have been back from northern Michigan as far as they can remember, so many generations. And there is still memory within my family of the Christian settlers coming and giving the northern Michigans a choice between converting to Catholicism or walking to Oklahoma. So I have a background in Native American life. My own background is urban. I grew up in a medium-sized town in Michigan.
What is the relation you are making between anarchism and indigenism?
Well, I would say that I'm not unfriendly to the general anti-civilization critique. If I were to criticize that criticism, it would be If I were to criticize anti-civilization discussions, it would be that its origins is very much a European, Western sort of set of examinations and examples. So just a very simple example would be that the sort of pastoral approach that many anti-civilization people seem to lean on, it's essentially in a tradition. So I guess my confrontation with that would be that there are traditions that are very different than these traditions that are more local. In other words, I do think that the traditions that originate in Northern America, what we call the North American continent, are worth examining, are worth understanding. And to put it more bluntly, I think that most European approaches to the kind of problems that we face as a broader civilization are not appropriate for here.
So what can be appropriate for here?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a strategic element to that conversation, and then there's a form of life. So I think that I personally believe that natives, by and large, in this environment, lived in small bands. They, by and large, traveled. They had relationships that were, you know, less complicated and involved smaller numbers of people. So to talk about a transition between the world that we live in now and sort of a world, a hunter-gatherer society, that's a terrible conversation to have. Because by and large, what you end up getting trapped into is one of the most kind of pernicious of Western ideas, which is called humanism. And this is the idea that human life is good, and if human life is good, then more human life is better. And so the extension of humanism, humanist ideas in the modern world, is that the most humans are the best. And so this means that all of the kind of humanist logic is that any conversation that imagines less people is by nature like a morally loaded. Humanists are against talking about there being fewer people than there are today. So that a humanist argument is diametrically opposed to the idea of living in smaller groups of people.
And what was the problem with, like, between anarchist and indigenous people to meet more often?
Part of the complication, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by the question, but where I go here is that I would like other indigenous people to talk clearly about a path by which people who were born in this continent could become indigenous to this continent. In other words, genocide has not been completed, but it's damn close. And so this means that for people who feel the explicit pain of genocide, they're touchy on the subject. And so as a result, it means that many self-described Native people and Native communities, they want nothing to do with the people who they can pretty rightfully say were somewhat responsible for the genocide. So I guess if I were going to be explicit about a positive program, it would be that I think indigenous people need to talk clearly about how people who are born here, quote-unquote Native Americans or Native Canadians or Native people of the Western Hemisphere, can become indigenous. In other words, what does that transformation look like?
How we can learn as anarchists from indigenous perspectives, like radical indigenous perspectives?
Yeah, that's very difficult because, you know, one of the first things that anarchists or, you know, as a broad category, white people have to recognize is that indigenous people may not want to teach them. And so the answer is that it might not be possible. In other words, like, we might be too far gone. And, you know, when I think of the people who I'm from, you know, we have so few things left of our kind of original story, even our language is like the dialect that is of my people, which is Ottawa, is very, very small, very few numbers of speakers. They're very old. The larger language set, which is Chippewa, you know, or Anishinaabe, there's more speakers, but there's probably many more in Canada than there are in the U.S., and these borders are totally real within this context. But more than that, almost every Native person who I've met who is, you know, like of the people who I'm from or you know, my heritage, they almost all are either Christians or went to Christian boarding schools or have been touched by genocide, to put it bluntly.
But more important, you're talking about how the indigenous can become indigenous.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be my priority personally, sure. But again, I don't think that it's out of the reach of white people to be engaged in this. I just am not sure that it's going to come from outside of them. In other words, it might be generations of people maybe quieting down or listening closer to not just the people around them, but to the quieter things in their lives. And I'm not a hopeful person. I think all indications are that things are going to get much, much worse before people really listen to this sort of a lesson.
And as both indigenous and anarchist, how do you reconcile your perspectives?
How do I reconcile them? I mean, to me, it's very easy. I mean, one of the only fights that I get into with my relatives on this topic is that they do accept something that they call leadership. You know, so I think that this is a relevant question for anarchists to ask themselves. In which ways do we accept leadership or not accept leadership? By and large, you know, anarchists do accept leadership, but they call it something else. So for me, there's not a conflict. If there's a conflict at all, it's with certain tendencies within anarchist thought and indigenous values. So, you know, obviously, anarchism that tends towards mass society, that tends towards a prescription, towards how the revolution is going to come, I've never felt affinity for them. But other than the fact that I've written a little bit about being indigenous and anarchism, I don't confront people with that fact very often.
And you've been talking about the lake of indigenous or anarchist also. You name few, like Gordiel, but how do you perceive that?
Well, you know, there's also a very good article that just came from the Sovereign Self about 2 or 3 months ago called Egoist Indigenous, which was a really good article. I recommend checking that out. But I mean, this is the same reason why, like, if you go to most of the larger reservations, the countercultural natives are still listening to heavy metal. Like, in other words, like, life in the reservation, to the extent to which those are the larger populations of Native people, I mean, it's behind the times, to put it gently. And so how would these people even be exposed to anarchist thought or really even radical political thought at all? I mean, I hate to say it, but the two best examples of radical messages reaching them are Rage Against the Machine, you know, which is a popular band, and Blackfire, which is a Native band from Arizona. I visited them last year in Arizona, and their setup there was very, very impressive. They were involved in the, is it Sugarwater Mountain, or maybe it was San Francisco Mountains in Arizona, the water fight that's happening there. And the kind of main person who's associated with this is a very charismatic, you can imagine that he's a very compelling person. Not to criticize, and I really don't want to criticize, but for me, the force of genocide is, I mean, this is a horrific, horrible machine that grinds people to death. And as much as I respect the spirit of people who resist it and who are willing to stand up against it, that role is not for everybody. And I don't want people to feel like they can't participate in these sorts of conversations or in this sort of thinking if they're not the kind of person who wants to stand up against the monsters of this world. So I give the Blackfire people, you know, a lot of credit for how, like, powerful and willing that they are and willing to be warriors. But I also just want to say that these machines will destroy you. And so I don't necessarily think that it's as simple of an answer that if we all stand up against it, that somehow we're going to stop it. I feel like, you know, Montreal over the last few weeks, if it shows anything, it's that the police are still very effective at policing